We'll just thank David Friedland again. I sometimes forget that the Benjamin Lee, everybody else that helps here, the breakfast doesn't just kind of like fall out of the sky. It's somehow kind of, you know, there's no maid in all of Rome, so it kind of gets done by people. And I want to thank David again. Also, the sponsor of the Kiddush, the Meshworks, as well as saying, not the Kiddush, the breakfast. For Schleimer, for Ahuva Nechama, Basaviva Lisa, Ahuva, who's become quite a friend of the yeshivas. And we're, Bezrat Hashem, so Siyata Gishmaya, looking forward to more Siyata Gishmaya and more Rufua. And in the source of all they do for Klal Yisrael, we should have only the Surah's favors.
Amen.
We kind of passed the halfway mark in Elul. Sorry to mention that most people have taken their capsules against Elul and kind of hopefully forgotten it, but it's Elul. I don't want to remind anybody that it's Elul, but I want to try and share something with you which I think might be a tool, a key to once and for all turn Elul into something that could be unslocked, and we can come next year to Chodesh Elul and say, wow, I managed to do everything I set out to do. And I'm not saying that nobody does that. I'm not a big fan of Elul schmoozing. I know the Minag used to have lots of schmoozing in Elul. I'm not a big chassid of Elul schmoozing. Everyone's different. What I'm going to say now probably doesn't apply to anybody other than myself. Well, I've spoken to a lot of people, and I know a lot of people have these problems and have these issues and have these challenges. So let's look at the problem and try and see if we can come up with a solution. I'm not saying this is the only issue. This is what seems to resonate in Elul as being a problem. When we have a shofar, we wake up and we sit down and we start doing a cheshbon. What needs fixing? What needs taken care of? What's more important? What's less important? The person's done. He does a cheshbon and nefesh. And of course, it's a very long list. A very, very long list. The Loshon of the Rabbeinu Yoina, I'll still be here writing my list and the time will have already ended. But we're old enough, we're mature, we know we don't have to do everything. Lo alecha melocha ligmor. We've been there, we know. So we start narrowing it down until we find the one thing that we're going to pick for this year. If you're still trying to do two things, carry on, but if it doesn't work, try one. Let's start with that. Two things is very dangerous. Try one. And then we start making decisions about how we're going to change this one thing. And this is where the problem starts. Because we tried 10 years ago, and 9 years ago, and last year, and we made kabbalas, and we made commitments, and we did a whole bunch of stuff. And by Erev Sukkos, perhaps, or by Chanukah perhaps, somehow, things start falling apart, the wheels come off, and we're kind of like, okay, you know, Elul's coming around soon again, we'll deal with this next Elul. And another Elul, and another Elul, and eventually you try and find a tiny law that sort of takes away Elul, you take a pill against Elul. You find like a Nimaslikva. I've tried, it doesn't work, the Lobby Shvili, Elul's Lobby Shvili. Remember, Shaykhis to Elul, yeah, the Mushu smoozing, and the Elul, and the this, and the Pachad, and the Rada, and the fainting, or whatever. Well, they all might see it, they don't see it. In the Yeshiva in Tifrach, where Daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's a big crowd, they have a doctor, they bring in a Goyisha doctor, they set up a little clinic there in one of the shiur rooms on the side. If somebody faints, or if somebody, God forbid, once somebody had a stroke in the middle of Daven Rosh Hashanah, there's a doctor on spot, Bedouin, Goyisha doctor, whatever, and he's on, there's a doctor in the shul. So I was thinking on Shabbos Mavochim, they should bring a doctor in as well. People are supposed to faint on the Shabbos Mavochim. Problem is today nobody ever fainted. No one faints today. Anyway, in the Hamodir there was a big article with a picture, you know, the Gera Rebbe fainting at Shabbos Mavochim. Even the big tzaddikim don't faint today. So what's Shaykh Edel to me? What do I have to do with Edel? Change, I can't. Because I've tried. And faint, I can't. And I'm not supposed to anyway. So what's the whole thing about? What's it about? So I go through and I'm very frum and I add on a bit more and I try a little bit frum in the year and the Elul, whatever. But the ultimate goal of Elul, I've never got it. Because the goal of Elul is to change. The story of success of Elul is that the person that wakes up on Rosh Chodesh Elul has to be a different, the person that goes to sleep, sorry, on Motzi Yom Kippur has to be different to the person that woke up on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Something has to have changed. But you have to do all these things. I'm not saying it's not good to be frum and it's not to do this and to take on the extra things. I'm not knocking any of that. It's wonderful. But at the end of the day, if I didn't change, I didn't do anything. You have to change. So the problem is like this. Let's take an example. Everyone has to find his own example. Let's take Lashon Hara as a generic type of an example here. Let's say a person, he sees Lashon Hara is a problem for him, his issue, comes up on the top of his list, he's got to get this one right, this one's killing him. So what does he do? He makes a plan. So he's heard about these Mishmeret HaLashon Zahav, that 2 hours a day you take on yourself, you're not going to speak Lashon Hara. He knows not to speak Lashon Hara again, he can't. He's old enough to know that if he could, he wouldn't have a problem with Lashon Hara. If he could just stop speaking Lashon Hara, then that wouldn't be his issue. Then he'd have to find another issue that he couldn't just take care of. So he realizes this is where he has an issue, it's a problem. So he takes on, he's going to keep on his 2 hours. It's 2 hours. 2 hours is too big. Much too big. If he could not speak Lashon Hara for 2 hours every day, he must not be able to do it for 3 hours also. The fact that he can't is a sign that 2 hours is just too big for him. So what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to take on, assuming this is the way to change, I'm not suggesting this, I'm just using this as an example. Probably achieve a lot more in stopping to speak Lashon Hara by learning Chofetz Chaim and by taking on Kabbalah about not speaking Lashon Hara, but that's not our subject. The vortex is, let's say he would take on, okay, 2 hours is too long, he's going to try an hour. So he tried that last year and didn't work. So this year he's going to try half an hour. But he knows that could be too much as well for him, because he knows himself. He's an honest guy, and he stopped conning himself. So he decides and he works out that what he could do is 5 minutes. He works out honestly, the Allah Hadar, learned a bit of Musa, he knows how to work on himself, 5 minutes. And as he decides that that's what he's going to do from 8 o'clock till 5 past 8, he's not going to speak Lashon Hara, the Yetzer bursts out laughing. The Yetzer bursts out laughing, says to him, you're such a wimp. In 5 minutes, that's what you're going to do. Look at your list. Your list is, you've got 5,000 things you need to fix. Serious things. There's Bidul Torah there, there's brochas, there's a whole bunch of stuff. And you're telling me that you're going to go into Yom Kippur and tell a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara for 5 minutes. Zel, that's my avoider for the year. Hey, come on, talking about tshuva. That's called tshuva. Anybody ever had this experience? You know what I'm talking about? Where you take on something that you know you can hold by and you know you can change, but you don't do it because it's too small. Ah, you're a wimp. That's what you're going to do. There's a guy who manages to learn 2 hours a day. And the longest stretch he can learn without interruptions is 10 minutes. So he looks around, he sees everybody else is learning 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. So he takes on to learn 7 hours a day. It's above him. It's too big for him. He can't do it. So eventually, after 30 years of trying, what does he do? He decides he's going to push that 10 minutes of uninterrupted learning to 12 minutes. That's it. He's not going to do it because it's too small. He's not going to do it. He's not even going to start doing it. Especially not if he goes to Musa Shmuzim or whatever, Erev Slichas, and he has one of these fire and brimstone Musa Shmuzim or whatever, he's going to realize, well, 2 minutes is nothing. You know, the rock told 20 things have got to be changed here, so I better start working on all of them, and then the whole thing falls apart. You're joking. 2 little minutes of extra learning, that's what you're going to do. By the way, if you learn 5 minutes a day extra, it's 30 hours over the year. Just a little take, make a cheshbon. If you want to count how many mitzvahs that is over the year, you do a cheshbon. It runs into the millions. But that's not the vault. The vault is I don't feel like I'm doing anything significant. I feel like I'm not doing anything. Not speak Lashon Hara for 2 minutes, 1 minute, 5 minutes, that's it. I don't feel like I'm achieving anything. I don't feel like I feel like I'm a failure. I'm a loser. And that's the time of the Yetzer Hara. And if you felt this resistance ever, you'll know that it's significant because the Yetzer Hara doesn't fight something that's not important. The Yetzer Hara is our best Rebbe. He'll tell you what's important, what's not important by the way he fights it. So how do you deal with this? How do you internalize for ourselves how to deal with and fight this Yetzer Hara? If nobody in this room has this problem with the Yetzer Hara, just tell me, because I don't have to give you the cure for a problem that doesn't exist. I mean, I have the problem, so... But if nobody's ever experienced this problem, if everybody knows how to work through Elul, and everybody's got to Rosh Chodesh Elul the year after, feeling mamash mutzlach, and I did it, and I got Elul right, and I changed the small thing, and I saw anyone Saturday Shema, if everyone's got that right, then you don't need me. So then I'm talking to myself, and you enjoy your breakfast, and I'll go weiter. Because I have this problem. I have this problem. Every time I try to do something small, the Yetzer Hara makes me feel like a wimp. And then I take on something bigger because I want to feel like a big guy. I feel like a wimp, and then it's too big, so then you don't matzliach. Rav Yosef ben Yomin Pinkas once told the yeshiva, he said, if you take on a kabbalah and you're not matzliach, 99% is because you took on too much. It's too big. You took on too much. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you're capable of. You're not prepared to admit to yourself what you're capable of, so you took on too much. There's a Gemara in Sukkah. Some of us in the yeshiva are learning Sukkah. The Gemara in Dafnun Beis. Try and understand this Gemara. It's a shtikla gadata. Try and understand this Gemara according to the mahalach of the Ma'ashov. There's other mahalachim here. I saw a beautiful pshat of the Briskerov. That Rav Shalom Shodran heard from the Briskerov. Chidoy is a beautiful pshat here. And many different pshatim here. But I want to follow the mahalach of the Ma'ashov. And I think with the understanding of the Ma'ashov of this Gemara, I think we have a very powerful tool here. To deal with the Yetzirah. So Gemara says that the Yossi Globo is going to take out the Yetzirah and he's going to shecht it in front of the Tzaddikim and in front of the Rishoyim. And for the Rishoyim it's going to look like a little head breadth, and for the Tzaddikim it's going to look like a big mountain. Familiar Gemara, well known Gemara. Well, it continues, it talks about it, uses a different example of that to the Rishoyim, it looks like a spider web, it looks like a little thread from a spider web. And for the Tzaddikim, it looks like a thick rope that they pull the wagons with, that the oxen pull the wagon with, a thick, thick hoover of rope. Heilu boichim, they both cry. This one cries and says, well, how couldn't I have overcome this little hair's breadth? And the Tzaddikim cry, how did I manage to conquer that mountain? So two questions on this Gemara. There are many questions. I'm not going to go into the whole theory. I'm not going to get into it. I just want to extract the few what the Marshal says. Two nukudas here. First of all, what's this Gemara teaching me? What I need to know, what's going to happen Lossi Globo when the Kodesh Baruch Hu shechts the gate, sorry, from the Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim. So when I get there, I'll see. What I have to know about it now for? And second of all, what does the Yetzer Hara really look like? Does he look like a head, or does he look like a mountain? Well, what does he actually look like? The Rishonim see a head breadth and the Tzaddikim see a mountain, but what actually is there? Who's in fantasy land here and who's seeing the real thing? If it looks like a head breadth, so then what's the problem? What are the Rishonim seeing wrong? And if it looks like a mountain, so then why are they crying? What's going on here? I mean, well, what actually is happening here? Let's use an example of giving up smoking. No one today is still foolish enough to smoke, but there used to be a time when people used to smoke. Let's say you gave up smoking, or giving up smoking. So Tesla uses this marshal, not a marshal for him, it was real. Tesla has a whole Torah about giving up smoking. There's a there and what's called Rotson. The famous essay on Rotson is based around his experiences with cigarette smoking. But I'm just using it as an example, because not going to anybody, so no one will feel personally ostracized. The Yetzer is never going to come to you and say to you, here's a packet of cigarettes, start smoking again. If the Yetzer wants a person to start smoking again, he's going to offer him what? One puff. Remember Rabbi Gross in the kitchen in the koil, right? Yeah, when I was trying to give up smoking. So I never bought a packet. I used to go and buy like three loose cigarettes and he used to smoke. Chesed, I couldn't smoke. Eventually I started buying a packet again because three wasn't enough. So you start buying five. Once you're buying five, it's the Lo Shalem. You might as well buy packets the same price as five. So you go and the Yetzer Hara comes and never says, start smoking again. Because you know he's not going to start smoking again. After all I went through to give up, I'm going to start again. You're sugar. Who wants to start smoking again? What does he do? He says, you have one puff. One puff. No one ever died from a puff. What's wrong with having a puff? You have a puff and then you won't smoke again. What's the answer I want? Well, what's he offering you? One puff, or he's offering you to start smoking again? He's offering you to start smoking again. And the only way he knows how to do that is to give you one puff. Because he knows if he offers you smoking, it's not going to happen. Because I'll say, first the answer gets you to do this, later, this little bit, later. Eventually he trips you up in a Avodah Zorah. He never came to you and said, come, let's go be Avodah Zorah. You've got a beautiful pestle there, let's go dive into stones. Yeah, if an osser's a bit schwer, come, I've got a solution for you. Come be Avodah Zorah, things will get better. He doesn't do that. It's a process. Trips you there. One puff here, one puff there. Eventually they are smoking again. What's the pitaron? What the marshal says, what's a person supposed to do? He's supposed to be yorid l'soif daita. When the Yetzer Hara comes and offers you a hair's breadth, he doesn't want the hair's breadth. He's after the mountain. You have to see the mountain now. When the Eitzah comes to you with something teeny and says, that's just one puff, you're not supposed to see one puff, you're supposed to see a whole packet of cigarettes. You have to see the soul. That's where he's aiming. So the tzaddikim, the Yetzer Hara looks like a mountain. Why? Because everything the Yetzer Hara offers him, he sees the end, he sees the big mountain. The Yetzer Hara is looking for your life. The Yetzer Hara, the Gemara says, the Yetzer Hara wants to kill you. That's his goal, that's where he's headed. Everything in the meantime is just tricks and, you know, ways to get you there, but he wants to kill you. So you have to be here in the same diet, like in Surah Meira. What did the Ben Surah Meira do? He had a bit of wine and a bit of meat, kosher, all kosher, not on a fast day. With these brochas, everything, whatever, Torah says kill him. Why? Because he's going to kill someone one day. What do you mean? He's just whatever, you know. He's got a bit of a eating issue. And then he'll kill someone one day. Kill him now. You've got to see the end. You've got to see where this is headed. So the Yetzer understands very well that if you do something very small, the results can be massive. If I offer you a hair's breadth, eventually I'll get the whole mountain. Yetzer understands it. He understands it very well. So now we have a tool. We can use the Yetzer Hara's mahalach against him. If you want to change your learning, you want to learn a bit more every year. You want to up your ante. You want to speak less Lashon Hara. You want to change something. You know as well as the Yetzer Hara, maybe the Yetzer Hara knows better than you, that if you do something small, eventually it'll become big. How do you know that? Because the Yetzer Hara taught you that. So when the Yetzer Hara comes to you and says, well, you're going to change 1 minute? 1 minute in learning, you're going to learn 1 minute extra this year. That's going to change anything. I tell you, what are you asking? You know better than me. Sure. You know that one puff of a cigarette can eventually end up to guy starting to smoke again. You know that one word of Lashon Hara here and one word of Lashon Hara there, the guy eventually will become a Baal Lashon Hara. So I'm going to use that against you. Not speaking one word of Lashon Hara here and not speaking one word of Lashon Hara there, eventually I'll get cured from a Lashon Hara. And it's Avtocha from the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, Pischelu Pesach kechudosh al machat, open for me a pinprick, veftach lecha Pesach ulam, I'll open for you major gateways. What is not speaking Lashon Hara for 1 minute, or learning the extra 5 minutes, or whatever these small things you're taking on, what is that? It's a pinprick, you feel like a wimp. By the way, Adam HaRishon had this problem as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him, gave him mamash atom bombs. Adam HaRishon was a koich otzer. And Hashem said to him, just don't eat from the tree. That's it. But you give me all this, what do you give me all these weapons for, and all this koyach and all this spiritual greatness for? The Malachim wanted to daven to me, was so great. And all I have to do is just not eat from the tree. Don't make that mistake. And not eating from the tree was quite significant. We're still kind of dealing with that mess. It's too small. It's not too small. Because this hair's breadth, if you stick to it, will eventually become a mountain. Hashem promises it. The reason why we don't have big gateways open in front of us is because we haven't opened up a pinprick. And the reason we don't open up a pinprick is because we don't believe that if I open up a pinprick, something can happen. So I try and open up big, big gateways. If I want to improve my hasmada, I better take an extra 3 hours learning a day. You know, the store's closed, and you know, customers want to come, they can come at 1 o'clock. I'm sitting learning 3 hours a day. The most I've ever managed to learn is 10 minutes a day. I'm taking on 3 hours now because then you're not going to open up a pinprick and you're not going to get anywhere. Nothing's going to happen. But the resistance that there is from this Yetzer Hara, that this is too small, you now have the Yetzer Hara's own shitter. According to your shitter, little things can become very big. Little cobwebs can become enormous, enormous ropes. If you just stick to it. But there's another problem here. Even if we'll believe all this, we don't really believe that if I make a tiny change, I've really changed. Let's say I'll get through the year having not spoken Lashon Hara my 5 minutes every day. I didn't speak Lashon Hara. The rest of the day I'm doing whatever I was doing. Nothing else has changed, but I haven't spoken Lashon Hara 5 minutes a day. Some days I'm seated, but overall was a good year. Have I really changed? Am I really a different person? Not really. I'm the same guy. Just whatever. I mean, it's Baruch Hashem, I spoke a bit less Lashon Hara this year, but I'm not really that different. The system's the same. I go over and I'll be here. If this doesn't get you moving, it's probably too late. There's probably a very little hope left. If this doesn't kind of get you bouncing up and down a little bit. This is Rav Weinberg. And I've spent probably everybody's heard this from me at some stage or another. I usually do it by showing it, because it makes it more real. Rabbi Akiva, who was a Soyme Chachome, He wasn't just a chiloni that didn't know anything about Torah. Mamash hated chachomim. Became a Baal Tshuva, turned his whole life around, and became the Rebbe of the entire Golus, a Rebbe for 2,000 years, because he saw that water made a hole in a rock. Now, water making a hole in a rock is not a big revelation. Any five-year-old that's ever been, you know, down to the beach and, you know, sort of skipped around rock pools or whatever and did a bit of fishing knows that if you throw water in a rock long enough, it makes a hole in it. You don't change your entire philosophy and ideology in life overnight because you suddenly discovered soil erosion. That doesn't make sense. Well, what did you see? What mamash got it? If water, which is soft, can make a hole in a rock, which is hard, then Torah, which is fire, can penetrate my heart. And one of the biggest seinei chachamim, Rabbi Akiva, suddenly becomes a Baal Tshuva, and that's it. Goes off and learns for 24 years. What did you see here? So, I love asking this question. Usually about 50% answer one way, 50% answer the other way, but yeah, most people have heard the story. The first drop on the stone, did anything?
Nothing noticeable.
Nothing noticeable. Now, that's not an answer. You're a lawyer? No commitment. Say everything and say nothing. So most people say no, some people say yes. The obvious answer, and it's posh, is that if the first drop didn't do anything, then the second drop's the first drop. And that's not going to do anything. And you're never going to get a hole in this rock. At some point, the first drop has to do something. Is that clear? It's posh, right? Then, I used to walk around with the little stones I used to pick up on the beach. I used to call them Rebbe Kibbe stones. I used to give them to the Talmidim and the Yeshiva. Because they always want to do more and always getting, it's good for parents as well, you know, you tell your kids. You know, I once told my kids, how many times, son, the people are doing something. I said to her, how many times must I tell you? So she said to me, wow, the water went straight through the rock. You know, I realized there was something was going in. The vortex is the first drop. If I take a drop of water and I drop it on this floor, that floor is not the same anymore. It's not noticeable. You'd have to get out a microscope, maybe a subatomic microscope to see what's happened there in the quantum physics of this event. But there's an event. Something's happened here. However minuscule, but that rock's not the same anymore. It's a different rock. And the second drop that will fall on there will change it more. And eventually, with enough drops, there'll be a hole here. But you know why there's a hole here? Because the first drop did something. That's pretty good understood. If I learn one word of Torah, if I'll change one small thing, I'm a different person already. The system's changed. I'm a different person. I've changed. I was Matzliach. I come to Elul next year. I've changed. I fulfilled the goal of what Rosh Hashanah and Elul and Rosh Hashanah and the Sarimei Tshuva and Yom Kippur is. I'm a different person. How small does that change have to be? For each person, according to what he's capable of, what he can do and what he can hold. And it takes a lot of thinking and a lot of cheshbon. But don't let the Yetzer Hara fool you into thinking, small, what are you going to do? It's never going to become anything. First of all, the Yetzer Hara uses this tool against us all the time. He catches us at all the time. And eventually that rope becomes so thick you can't break it. When he first offered it to you, it was a thin little string. It's easy to say no to one puff. After 20 puffs, it's not so easy to say no to the third cigarette and the fourth cigarette. So that's number one, stop him while you can. The way you stop him while you can is by seeing the end. But the same is for yourself. When you start working on, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara 1 minute a day, don't see the now, see the end. Eventually I'll never speak Lashon Hara again. I'll be free of this machala. I'll be able to learn 8 hours a day or 3 hours a day, whatever it is. I'll be able to make, whatever, I don't want to go through all the examples because anyone's going to go back to their list and start. That's not what you want to do. You want to by now have the one thing you're working on and work on it. We'll start going back to your list and say, well, maybe I'll do three things because the rabbi said this and said that, so maybe he meant me, and I don't mean anybody. Just, whatever you do, take something small and have simcha in the knowledge, okay, that this small thing is eventually going to become very, very big if you just stick to it, and block out all the blandishments and the seduction of the Yetzer Hara that you're a wimp and you're not doing anything, because you are. And you have the Avtocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if you will do this, Hashem says, if you don't understand how this little cobweb is going to become an enormous, enormous mountain, I'll take care of it, don't worry. How this pinprick's going to become a big gateway, you don't know how that's going to happen, but I'll promise you it'll happen. And if you look back, you'll see it has happened in your life. With these ideas, hopefully, Bezrat Hashem, B'siyat Rishmaya, will be able to go through this year and come through the year. Next year, Rosh Chodesh Elul, we'll get the shofar blowing, that feeling of dread. Not fear, not pachad, the feeling of dread, of like, this has nothing to do with me, it's not shaykh, I'm not supposed to be doing that. Hopefully we'll feel very differently. We'll feel a simcha. We'll feel a simcha. The ikka avoidiyah is to be besimcha. The ikka avoidiyah is to be besimcha. Enormous hizdamnut to change. Enormous hizdamnut to get out of the mess that we're in and out of the addictions that we're trapped to and out of the problems that we tied up with. To move forward, enormous simcha, we'll the other shofar blowing, and we'll feel a sense of, wow, accomplishment. I did something. I changed something. And look at the Siyat Tzidishmai that came with it. And I'm a different person. And now this year I can do a little bit more and continue in an upward momentum in Elul, as opposed to it becoming something that's worthwhile avoiding. I'm done. I don't know how to end.
Timely and poignant.
Huh?
Timely and poignant.
And contrived?
Poignant.
What's poignant?
Didn't say that.
No, I'm asking.
Hitting the target.
Shkakorum.
Thank you.